Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
That's why I'm talking Chicago White Sox here today. And I'm not telling you to run to the TV right now and go watch the games. I really think you should, and you should definitely go out to the rink and go to Sox Park, because I love the food there, and I love going to games. But I will tell you, compared to last year, the Chicago White Sox are getting watchable. And there's a couple reasons why. And I'm just going to go through some of the players here and just sort of let you know a little bit about what's going on with the White Sox. And if you start to look around a little bit, as I mentioned in the previous segment, Chicago White Sox have already graduated 8 players from their prospect pool to the major leagues. That is a huge number. Not saying that all 8 of those guys are going to make it. And man, they would be lucky if 2, 3, 4 of them become pillars in a foundation of the future. But the Chicago White Sox are wasting no time. They do not care about service time, where if you hold a certain player back, you get an extra year of contract control over a young player. The Chicago White Sox are saying no. They're saying if you're ready, we're going to bring you up to the big leagues and we're going to put you out there. So let's go around the horn. Let's start at the catching position. A really interesting, deep position suddenly for the Chicago White Sox. They began the year with Matt Tice, a veteran player. They've already moved on from him. They've traded him. Corey Lee, a guy that they've had in the system who's all right. He's okay, but he's been injured. So open up the door. What do we do? Let's bring up Edgar Caro. No big deal. Now, Edgar Caro right now, switch hitter, which I really like. Left side, obviously, he's predominantly hitting there. He's come up with some big hits. On the right side, he's hitting .357 against left-handed pitching. This guy is a line drive hitter. I do not think you're going to see a lot of power from Edgar Caro moving forward in the future. But the guy puts the bat on the ball and puts together great at-bats. Had a great at-bat just the other day, shooting the ball to right field with the bases loaded for a base hit. 2-run single against the Houston Astros. Sox win that game. He puts together a good at-bat. He puts together a competitive at-bat. He's the type of young player you don't mind watching and rooting for. Speaking of rooting for, Kyle Teal, one of the best prospects in the system, is already up with the Chicago White Sox and playing. You got to watch this kid. It's really fun. He has got that young youth energy. Every time he's in the box, he's either readjusting his feet, adjusting his gloves. He takes a pitch. He sinks physically. He kind of takes it in. He's very emotional at the plate. Left-handed hitter. And oh yeah, this guy's got some power. And he's shown so much power in the minor leagues that he's now getting a call and he's getting a shot. Two players right there that if you're a White Sox fan, you want to turn on the TV and you want to check out and see and watch them grow. Whether they mature and evolve and turn into great players, they are players that have tantalizing talent that you want to take a look at. At the third base position, this is my guy, Miguel Vargas. Now, Miguel Vargas came to the White Sox in the Michael Kopech trade and immediately was terrible. Immediately, a photo was taken of him looking miserable on the bench because, oh yeah, he just got traded from the Los Angeles Dodgers to a team that was about to lose 121 games. But Miguel Vargas has come back this year and has looked like a completely different player. He's looked a little bit stronger. In May, he had a fantastic month with an 899 OPS. He's off to a little bit of a slow start in the middle of June right now. But again, this is a player worth watching. Leading the team right now in home runs with 9. He's got an 829 OPS with runners in scoring position. If you want to talk about a catalyst or a guy or anyone on the team right now, it's not Luis Robert. When the bases are loaded and you need a base hit, the one guy that I would probably put up at the plate right now is Miguel Vargas. 24-year-old player, playing a really strong, smooth third base. Not only is he a guy that's watchable, he might be a piece moving forward for the next couple years for the Chicago White Sox if he can continue to improve upon his game. We're only two positions in, catcher and third base, and I'm telling you right now, these guys already are watchable, possible pieces for the future. If you look over at shortstop right now, it has been Chase Meidroth, but I'm telling you, in the next couple weeks, I do think we're finally going to see heralded prospect Colson Montgomery come up for the Chicago White Sox. He's hitting a little bit better in the minors. Ryan Fuller, the hitting advisor and the hitting coach for the entire minor league system for the Chicago White Sox, who's done great work with Miguel Vargas. Whatever he's putting into place, it has been working. And Colson Montgomery is able to been turn around a slow start of a season and come up. Let's see what happens. A lot of people thought he was going to be an all-star. But again, when he gets called up, that's now nine prospects from their prospect pool up in the major leagues playing. There was a time when a lot of people thought Colson would be the best of the bunch. But again, a very, very watchable player on what I think is turning into a very watchable team. Second base, Chase Meidroth. Absolutely love what I've seen from Chase Meidroth. Hitting 307 over his last 114 at-bats. He's got a 385 on base, 385 batting average over the last week. He's got his on-base percentage up over the 38% mark. This guy draws walks. He battles. He fights. He's a little bit shorter, but man, he gets the bat. He's got good bat-to-ball skills. And he's kind of like everything you wish Nick Madrigal was going to be, Chase Meidroth is. Dirty, gritty player. Played a really strong shortstop. Can also play second base. I'm not exactly sure what his future is, but man, is he a fun player to watch. And they've got him hitting at the top of the lineup right now, and all the dude does is just get on base. It's been really, really fun to watch. If you move over to first base, Andrew Vaughn down into the minors. No thank you. But Tim Elko is there. Tim Elko is obviously a guy who provides probably the most power for the White Sox outside of Luis Robert on the team. He was a minor league darling. A lot of White Sox fans that do follow the trades in the prospect system seem to like him a whole lot. Let's just see if he comes up and can hit for some power. This is not a guy who I'm saying is a total watchable. He's a guy that's very easy to root for. But again, all these players that I'm mentioning for, these are guys that you want to root for. These are guys that you want to watch. Whether they have success, I'm not telling you they're going to the playoffs, but I'm telling you, compared to last season when you couldn't even turn on the TV because the team made you so upset, these guys at least got you playing baseball that you like to watch. They're turning double plays. They're running the bases well. Defense has been better. They're working pitchers. They're getting walks. Sure, they're not hitting the timely home run, or maybe they're not coming up with the type of production that maybe on the north side you're seeing right now. But the improvement in play is evident. In the outfield, this one gets a little bit more touch and go. In left field right now, Joshua Palacios and Michael A. Taylor. I'm not going to sell you on those two guys. They're definitely just placeholders right now. They provide a little bit of pop here and there, but they're not really guys. I wouldn't put them exactly on the watch list. Which brings us to center field, Luis Robert. Luis Robert Jr., I'm taping this on a Wednesday, hits a home run on Tuesday night. He's now got four hits, I believe, over his last 15 at-bats. It's not a great number, but for a guy who previously to that was 8 for 51, hitting 157, a guy who used to be a former MVP candidate, the last couple of days have been encouraging. I wanted to do a hot take where I thought that he was going to put together an OPS of plus, you know, 750 or over in June and then finally get traded. But the bat just simply hasn't come around. He's seeing more pitches. Is it taking away some of his aggressiveness? It's hard to say, but he just seems kind of miserable at the plate up there offensively and doesn't really seem to be as focused as he has been in years past. Still playing great defense. Still among major league leaders in stolen bases with 21. But Luis Robert, these next couple weeks are going to be absolutely crucial for the Chicago White Sox. They have to get him right and have to have him somehow hitting the ball. Because Luis Robert, as much as I like him, he's not the future. What they get back in return in the trade, that's what's going to mean everything. So if he can somehow restore a version of his value and begin to become attractive to, say, the San Diego Padres, the Seattle Mariners, the Philadelphia Phillies. They're no longer going to get blue chip prospects anymore for Luis Robert. That's out the window. But can they somehow maybe get two out of someone's prospect top 12? Can you do the right type of scouting to find the right type of players to bring in that'll maybe help you, that maybe turn into guys? We'll see. Luis Robert has been playing a little bit better. He has been awful so far this season. So I'm not necessarily saying that Luis Robert is watchable. What is watchable is his day-to-day progress as he gets a little bit closer to possibly becoming traded. In right field, what can we say? Northside, you love them. I love him too, Mike Tauchman. Mike Tauchman is just an on-base machine. He's averaging 4.88 pitches per at-bat, which is almost a full pitch ahead of what the major league average is. He is the leadoff hitter until further notice. He's not going to swipe you a bag anytime soon. He already hurt his hamstring twice, and you can definitely tell he's doing everything he can to play the game to the best part of his ability without blowing out that hamstring again. But it's just a veteran player, a gritty guy. Maybe you could possibly see him get traded in August. But again, this is a guy that you want to root for and a guy that's playing good baseball right now and gives you a professional effort on a daily basis, something that last year's team, that 121-loss team, sorely lacked. So I just went through the whole lineup right there, and at least half of those guys are watchable. At DH, Andrew Benintendi, look, the money is what it is. It's a sunk cost. Can you hope Andrew Benintendi runs into a few and provides them some power that they sorely lack? Sure, but you know, in terms of watchability, I'm not really putting Andrew Benintendi high up there on that list. When it comes to pitching, they do have some guys that you do want to watch. Shane Smith has been fantastic. Shane Smith, if the All-Star game was tomorrow, he would be their starter. He's got an ERA sub 2.5. He's got a fastball that pumps at 95, 96. He's got himself a nice changeup. And he was a Rule 5 draft pick, a guy that was picked off the scrap heap out of nowhere, made the rotation, and is making the most of it and becoming a true professional major league pitcher. They've got some middle-of-the-road guys that can keep you in some games, like Jonathan Cannon, Davis Martin. Adrian Hauser's come out of nowhere, who apparently, according to other teams, looks a lot slimmer. But through four starts, Adrian Hauser has an ERA of 1.48. Davis Martin, 3.02 ERA in seven home starts. And Sean Burke, the opening day starter, who got absolutely rocked over the last month. Over his last seven starts, he's got a 2.70 ERA. So they're competitive, and this is what you want from a White Sox team, all right? I'm telling you, it's a tale as old as time. We have seen over 15,000 mediocre baseball teams that have really bad bullpens. The Chicago White Sox are on the cusp of just being that. Mediocre, bad bullpen, not a heavy investment in trying to be successful or win, but they are competitive. They hang around in games, and then, oh, yeah, the bullpen is bad. They lose. That's why they end up losing 90-something games. That's where the Chicago White Sox are right now. And speaking of the bullpen, it is really bad. But they did just call up this guy, Grant Taylor. And when you talk about watchability, I know he's a reliever. And that's probably what he's going to have as his role for the rest of the season. But he throws 101. And he has a slider and a curveball and a cutter that are absolutely nasty. This guy, Brian Bannister, one of the main minor league directors, and definitely on the pitching side for the Chicago White Sox, said it's some of the best stuff that he's ever seen in his life. And throughout player comps of some guys that are pitching right now in the major leagues that are going to end up in the Hall of Fame. So there are some intriguing pieces on the South side. I am not telling you they're making the playoffs. I'm not even supposing that they're going to be a 500 team this year. What I am trying to tell you, though, is that the product of last year, you have to get it out of your mind, because this is a whole new, fresh set of players, young players, exciting players that could possibly become foundation pieces of the future. And the Chicago White Sox are fast-tracking them to the major leagues. If you have success in the minors, you are going to be rewarded with the Chicago White Sox by playing time in the major leagues. And that's what we've already seen. Eight players already called up this year. It's not even June yet. These are not also-rans. These are not replacement-level players. Some of them in some spots, but a lot of these guys are looking to have a future in the major leagues and possibly in Chicago. And there is a world where I think on my preseason prediction, I thought the Chicago White Sox were going to lose 110, 112-ish games. I am starting to believe, based on what I've been watching over the last month, that this Chicago White Sox team can be capable of winning perhaps 60 or 65 games. And I know that sounds terrible, but that's a 25-game improvement from last year's team. A lot of that credit needs to go to the manager, Will Venable, a a guy who I like a whole lot, a guy who I think on the South side, I think they have found a manager that they can hang on to for quite some time. And my hope is in that range of 27 and 2028, as the Ishbias get closer to taking over, Will Venable will have a competitive team, a successful winning baseball team, and then let's see what happens. But I think they got it right with the manager. I don't like a lot of Chris Getz's moves. I think there's a lot of the jury is still out with him. But the people that he's hired and the influence and injection of some of the analytics that the White Sox were sorely missing a couple years ago, what they've injected into the franchise has had a positive influence. And we've seen some of the results with some of these kids get called up. And when these kids get called up too, they're not thriving, they're not drowning, but they are surviving. They are competing. Edgar Caro and Chase Mydroth are competing up at the major league level. Edgar Caro's hitting 270. Mydroth's hitting almost 300. It's pretty dang good. Let's see where Kyle Teal is at in a couple of weeks. Let's see if Colson Montgomery comes up, if he can keep that going too as well. I'm not trying to sell you that here come the White Sox. I am trying to sell you, though, that they are a watchable team. And if you are a baseball diehard like me, if you were a White Sox fan like me, it wouldn't hurt you to start tuning into some games, just because it's always fun that if some of these guys do pop and some of these guys do hit and some of these guys become pieces of the next successful White Sox baseball team, it is always fun to say, I was there from the beginning. I remember watching him as a rookie. I remember him take steps A, B, C to the D, which is now an all-star player. I think that's the fun part of sports. And I'm telling you right now that White Sox fans, you should at least check in a little bit every once in a while, because some of these guys here, they might possibly be pieces. Some of these guys can play. They're not ready for the big time. They're not ready to win yet. But the Chicago White Sox, as of right now, it is official. I'm calling it. The Chicago White Sox are watchable. Play the music, everybody. Play the music. We got to get out of here. This was Sports Talk Chicago. I am Joey Christopoulos. This is WLS AM 890. It is Saturday night. Have a wonderful weekend. Everyone be safe, be well, be good to each other. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the listen. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week. We'll see you then.
And now, Workers' Compensation 101 with attorney Mark Vaden. I just been hurt at work. What should I do first?
First thing you should do if you're injured at work is seek medical attention. Then report the injury to a supervisor as soon as possible.
When do I call a lawyer when I've been injured at work?
You should call a lawyer as soon as you are physically able. You don't want to give any statements to the insurance companies before you're represented.
What if the injury is my fault?
Under the Illinois Workers' Compensation Statute, liability normally doesn't come into play in workplace injuries. Therefore, even if the injury was caused through your own fault, you may still be entitled to compensation.
How much is it going to cost me to talk to a lawyer?
There's absolutely no charge for speaking with a lawyer. Moreover, if we don't get you a settlement, we'll charge absolutely nothing for our services.
Call now.
I'm Mark Vadik. I've been helping injured clients get recoveries for almost 30 years. Call us and let me help you.
312-883-9500. 312-883-9500.